o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. You can text or call us 970-242-1340. Lots to react to today. Nuggets beat the Lakers last night, come back from 20. Jamal Murray ties the game with a jumper, and then over Anthony Davis, hits the game-winning shot from the baseline. Nuggets go up 2-0. Though they had to get a little encouragement from Michael Malone at halftime, Connor Gillespie had to give Jamal Murray a little, come on, you're going to hit the game-winning shot. You can do it. And he did last night. So you can text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. I can't read some of Dustin's text.
Can't read all of it, but the tentpoles are there.
Yeah, just about LeBron. Stop complaining about the refs. Can't say about what the Lakers did.
They were terrible. They were horrible. They were terrible. To paraphrase.
I do find the way Dustin phrased it to be.
Yeah.
It's making me laugh, to be quite honest.
Good work.
It's good work. Just can't read it, Dustin. Sorry.
Handful of FCC violations.
You have to understand, Dustin, that when you send us this stuff, we have to sanitize it for our protection.
But you're not wrong.
He did miss wide open threes, particularly on the last possession. Let's go, Nuggets. Very good, Dustin. I like that. Just can't read the whole thing. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I would get in so much trouble. All right. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Who do we have on the team line?
Paul has some thoughts about something I didn't ask him about.
Okay. Paul, what are your thoughts this morning, sir?
Hey, I'm thinking Avalanche again because this is the best time of the year if you're a hockey fan, obviously, but I still think it's the best playoffs of any of the four major sports. But the problem with Georgie is he creates a lack of confidence in the rest of the team. You can see that team, and I'm sorry, I didn't hear, you guys have already talked about this, I'm sure you have, but you see there's something that happens when he's on the ice that creates this lack of confidence with the defensemen around him, with the offensemen. It doesn't look right. And you see his body language doesn't look right. He was staring off into space the other night. You know, Bednar's trying to get him off the ice, and Makar had to go pull him off the ice. It was really discouraging.
I agree with what you're saying. There are times the goals he gave up in that game, he flips a mask off, and he's kind of looks around, and you're just kind of going, geez, I don't feel a sense of
urgency.
Of that I'm upset. I mean, he doesn't have to lose his mind and start smashing his stick on the ice and going crazy. But you just, yep, I gave up a goal. Yeah, I know what you're saying. That is a concern about him where, I mean, last year he played really well for the Avalanche. And this particular stretch after the All-Star break where, they won the 9 straight games. But a lot of it was, to me, on how good they are offensively. I don't know what you do to fix him. Eustace Annan is not going to be available tonight. And like I said before, there's no guarantee. You're asking a young guy in Annan to come in and save the day. They traded for Georgiev for a specific purpose, for him to be their number one goaltender. And maybe they got this wrong about him. I think we're going to find it very quickly. If they end up losing the series and Georgiev continues to play the way he's playing, I'm hoping it's not going to cost Jared Bednar his job. I don't think it will. But Chris McFarland better quickly reevaluate his goaltending situation because Pavel Francouz isn't coming back. He's retired. They need a veteran goaltender. Georgiev may not be the answer ultimately. That's starting to shape up right now.
I'll tell you what, if they lose this series and looking like he's looking, he's played his last game in an Avalanche uniform.
I would think so.
There is something that's going on with him that's just not right. And, get rid of him and get somebody new in there. Yeah, they took a shot at it, but it's very discouraging. And I'll tell you what, you guys, if we manage to, and I think that's a big if we manage to win this series, what do you think's going to happen in the next three series. Like Ray Bourque said, this is 16-W. I don't see this team being able to win 16 games in this tournament with this current lineup that they have.
Certainly not with the goaltending the way it is right now. I can't disagree with you on that.
It's really discouraging because they really have, they have the best player in the world. And they have the best defensemen probably in the world. And by the way, Georgie was, what, in March, 7-1-1 with the lowest goals against average? What has happened to this guy? I mean, are you that fragile that something has sent you off your game in 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
All I know is this, Paul. Better get his crap together tonight.
Somebody put in a call to Colin Gillespie.
Exactly. Maybe he needs Colin Gillespie to come. You're going to come up with a game-winning
Michael
save.
Michael Malone. Keep your head up, guys.
Come on, guys. Come on, Georgie. You can get it done. Maybe you may need to make a phone call to Michael Malone on an off day today, and he could talk to Georgie.
Yeah,
put him on
speakerphone.
Hey, Paul, appreciate it. Thanks.
Adios, guys.
All right. Paul, what's some thoughts about the Avs? I don't disagree about the demeanor of Georgiev. Just when you watch him after he gives up a goal now, it's like he's shell-shocked. It's like he's stunned.
I don't know why. I've seen him give up plenty of goals in the last 6 weeks.
And to Winnipeg,
why he's
too.
So surprised. Yeah. Like, he's given up 14 goals to Winnipeg in a week. And they only played twice. It's like, I don't know why he's so
touchdowns.
Surprised. Yeah. It's like, oh, here we are again.
All right. So we did Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia last hour. We have a winner, correct?
Yes, we do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Pete, first in the door with the correct answer of Larry Brown, the first Denver Nuggets head coach.
Right. Bob Bass was the Denver Rockets' first
yes.
coach. Doug Moe was obviously not the Nuggets or the Rockets' first coach.
Nope.
Larry Brown, he wore the overalls on the bench.
Of course he did.
Back in the early days.
It was what, Pickaxe Pete or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah, when Larry Brown was on the bench wearing overalls.
Mm-hmm.
Like Farmer Brown overalls, yeah.
George Karl wore the jersey and got fired, or not fined, but rather. Same word with an N instead of an R.
Different outcome.
Yeah.
Kept his job, but
he
had to pay.
Won Coach of the Year and got fired. That was completely different.
That was a different story.
Yeah.
All right, so some reaction to the Nuggets win last night. And, I agree with Dustin on LeBron. Make a shot, LeBron. Stop crying about the officiating, LeBron. Just admit, your team around you, he played fine last night.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis was great. D'Angelo Russell had a good game last night. But you didn't play well enough down the stretch. You blew a 20-point lead, dude.
Yeah.
The officials didn't just hand it to Denver. What? Oh, they're getting preferential treatment. Well, like the Lakers never have in their entire lives.
LeBron gets some really preferential treatment. And
he sure has.
I'm on record. I'm a LeBron defender-ish on this program.
I don't hate him like other people do.
Last night, man, you gotta just wear that one. That's on you guys.
Yeah, you gotta man up and say, we gotta play better.
You had the dagger in your hand and you whiffed.
Totally blew it. You had
took a shot way early, first of all. Missed it, second of all. Nobody on your team got the rebound, and then nobody could stop Jamal Murray.
Back-to-back shots where he tied it and then won it.
Yeah. When you had 10 seconds to do something to him.
Why didn't you foul him?
Or D him up.
Yeah.
Don't let him get that close to the hoop. Make him take a wild shot. Make him get rid of it.
And it wasn't like Anthony Davis played bad. He played pretty good defense on Jamal in that shot.
This is the Lakers. They blew that game.
Yeah, stop crying. Stop whining. You lost.
I do appreciate it, though, because that finished off my parlay from last night.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Took Cavs, Knicks, Nuggets, a little three-way. Cashed out. Pretty happy about that.
Good job. Well done on your part. All right. So coming up, live Connor McGahee from Winnipeg, previewing Avs and Jets tonight. Time for
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
And one other thing, do you want to mention Mav Day? Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House will be over there at 9 this morning. I'll be leaving a little bit early to go get set up over there. And they're open right now, so stop by and see James. 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, across from Colorado Mesa, where there's no charge for coffee add-ons, by the way, over at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. We'll be over there at 9 this morning. All right, so start things off with, let's go Zach Wilson first.
Yeah, let's do it.
We talked about the uniforms, and we will. We'll do more of that.
Yeah.
So the Broncos making the deal yesterday to get Zach Wilson and a 7th-round pick, pick number 256, from the Jets for a 6th-rounder, which is pick 203. Jets are also going to pay a portion of Wilson's salary, which salary is $5.5 million. So for Wilson, they were going to get rid of him. He was definitely living on borrowed time. You know, they got Aaron Rodgers a year ago. He was going to come in to be the starting quarterback. Wilson was going to be the backup.
Yeah.
Until 4 plays into the first game of the season, Aaron Rodgers, the torn Achilles, and he was done.
Poor guy. All he does is think the earth is round, and now he's a Bronco.
So Jets owner Woody Wilson at one point said they wouldn't release Wilson if they couldn't find a trade partner, but then, you know, they were able to get the Broncos to make the deal. And his fellow first-round classmates, I mean, Mac Jones gets released.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lance, still with the Cowboys, but no longer a future starter. Justin Fields gets traded. And so all those quarterbacks that came in that class, none of them are, right now, sniffing being a starter. Maybe Justin Fields ends up beating out Russell Wilson. Remains to be seen. So for the Broncos, The Athletic, they give the Broncos a C-plus on this deal. Yeah, I C-plus or a B. A B in that you're getting a first-round quarterback for essentially a 6th-round pick. They're picking up the majority of his salary. I mean, from a risk standpoint, there's not a lot of risk here. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And the Jets probably come out better in the deal because they actually get something for Wilson. They get a 6th-round pick. Denver gets a 7th-round pick in the deal, coming back from the Jets. It's a case where you've got to find answers. And Zach Wilson, I don't know if he's the answer or not. I don't know. If you look at the time with the Jets, you can't feel like he's going to come in and immediately be the answer at quarterback. Maybe Sean Payton can fix him. Maybe he can't. The athleticism's always been intriguing about him, going back to his time at BYU. New York, a lot of pressure on him to be the savior. Maybe it was too much for him. And then common things that came up about personal things in his life that we won't dive into again.
Welcome to Denver if the pressure of saving the Jets was too much.
But he doesn't come to Denver as the savior, though. That's the thing. He comes in as possibly part of the solution, not the guaranteed solution, where the Jets, they took him 2nd overall. Expectation level was insanely high for him. And now he's got to resuscitate his career. He's got to revive it. And the pressure's probably off of him now for the first time since he's played in the National Football League, where he'll come in and compete. He's not expected to be the answer. Denver did not give up a whole lot for him, to be quite honest. And so for the Broncos, you're looking for answers. In this case, you're looking at maybe a low-cost, low-risk answer in Zach Wilson. If the Browns had made this deal, for this particular package, what's your reaction? Would it have been, yeah, they're not really giving up a whole lot for him. But then again, you also have invested so much in Deshaun Watson that you're going, what point is he? So maybe it's a different, maybe that's not a fair comparison, because Denver's job is open.
If they brought
yours
him
is
in,
not because Deshaun Watson, because of the commitment to him, that job is not open.
If they brought him in to be competition for Deshaun Watson, I would cheer for him. And I would want him to win that job because I dislike Deshaun Watson.
That's a fair thing. But yeah, but you would.
If the situations were similar where the job was open and Zach Wilson was the answer, I would have to pick up my eyeballs off the ground because I rolled them right out of my head. This is, to me, a C minus at best. Sure, you gave it's low risk. Sure, they're paying most of his salary. But if I'm of the, it's been 9 years, we deserve to win again, I'm not super geeked about this deal. I don't care if he is like, well, hey, there's no pressure. I don't know. I don't know about that.
I'm talking about pressure.
To the fan base.
No, I'm talking about pressure in regard to being, there's New York Jets pressure. There's New York pressure and Denver pressure. Both have pressure, but the New York pressure is different. It's relentless. Not that the Broncos country can't be that way, but you're talking about, to me, an entirely different environment for a guy to try to be successful.
The environment's totally different.
New York is different.
The pressure is more similar than
because he was he went in as the second overall pick.
Mm-hmm. The media will be nicer to you.
He comes here as a guy that has failed so far, has some talent. Can he be fixed? He's not coming in as the guy that's going to be the next Joe Namath.
Mm-hmm.
He does not come to Denver as the next John Elway, Peyton Manning. He comes in as a guy that has a lot to prove, young guy that has some ability, that's got to get himself right.
You have to talk yourself into.
I look at it like,
you got to watch and cheer for him, so you got to kind of talk yourself into it at some point. And I do a little bit with Deshaun Watson, like, man, okay, all right, let's. Maybe he'll be healthy. I kind of get that, to where you got to find some of the roses poking through the pile of crap.
It's like going out through the Rockies and looking for pitching.
Pile of crap.
It's like looking for pitching.
Yeah.
You got to look at a variety of solutions through the draft, free agency.
You got to just throw numbers at it.
And you got to throw numbers at it. And the Broncos, they've got to throw numbers at it here.
But individually, you can still look at them individually and just go, this is going to suck. Because Jared Stidham's not great. Zach Wilson has not shown the ability to be great yet. I think the jury's still out on both of them,
like,
but
him
my
be,
confidence
I like
level
him to be good.
Is real low.
I like him to be good. Just be good.
I need way more than Colin Gillespie to tell me these guys are going to be all right.
I look at it as you've got to find solutions to a problem. You have a problem at quarterback right now. This guy was a first-round pick. There was a reason he was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. There is talent there.
And right now,
can you harness that talent for what's been basically giving up basically nothing for him? And it's not like you're locked in to a 5-year, you're not locked into a Russell Wilson deal here. Mm-hmm. You have a guy that may pan out. He may not pan out, but it's not like if Zach Wilson doesn't pan out, to me as a Bronco fan, you're like, oh, look what we invested. You invested nothing in him. And you're looking for answers. Maybe he figures it out. Maybe being closer to home to Utah, maybe that helps. I don't know.
I just know very few of the fans in the fan base 2 years from now will be like, oh, at least we didn't give up a whole lot. They're going to be irritated that you got to do this all over again. And part of the problem with the quarterbacks for Denver now are the guys acquiring the quarterbacks. Like, this is now starting to become systemic. And this keeps going on. Now you're looking at Case Keenum's and Garrett Gilbert's and Tyrod Taylor's and all of these guys. Like, the Browns jersey is hilarious. And I know the Broncos are trying to jump on that with the names on the back of the jersey. It's going to get longer. Like, this is.
But I would rather Denver do this. Go for a guy that's still a young player.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe the change of scenery will do him good, as opposed to let's bring in Ryan Tannehill. What does that do for you? Because let's be honest, your team is trying to rebuild. And Wilson fits that mold more than a Ryan Tannehill does. Does that make sense? I'd rather
yeah,
give
he a, helps you get good draft picks. He doesn't.
I would rather have a young. I'd rather you bring in a young player that you see what's there on a deal that's not going to cost you anything. Now, according to reports too from Tom Pelissero with NFL Network, that Denver could be trading back from 12, and it's not because of Zach Wilson that decision was made way before they ever decided to go get him on Monday.
Oh, he's not QBOF quarterback of the future?
No. That they had already made that decision. There's been a lot of hype that Denver's going to trade up. Thursday night's going to be interesting on what happens. Do they think that there's going to be maybe a Bo Nix or Penix that Jr. that fall farther down in the latter half of the first round? They don't feel like they have to go up to get one of those guys. Maybe the whole McCarthy thing's a smokescreen that they're going to trade up to get, try to get J.J. McCarthy. Could be the case. Once again, my final thought about it, about the Wilson thing is this. He's not the savior, but you have to find solutions to a problem. Could he be a solution? Maybe. He also might not be. But you're talentless at quarterback right now. Let's be honest about that. And you'll look for solutions anywhere. And even Zach Wilson might be one of your solutions as well. Also, Broncos, of course, announcing or unveiling the new uniforms yesterday. After you had a day to kind of look at them, marinate on a little bit, what's your take on them still? Or take on
they're
them
still
now?
Good. I like them. They're
a lot of people
not
hate
bad.
Them, man. They hate them. On the interwebs. Just absolutely hate them.
Without going back to the ones from the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, your fans aren't going to like
them. Yeah, the throwbacks are great. I wish they would just go with the throwbacks. But I don't dislike the other ones. Mm-hmm. The blue on blue with the white helmet, I've kind of like, hey, I kind of like that. It's a different look. I'm okay with
it. I like that one.
I like that one too.
I say that. No one liked the ones they just changed from, but everybody had them as
That's
Broncos
true.
Fans.
And guess what? You're going to have these
two. You're going to have these two.
You're going to have these two.
Could be like European soccer where you got to get a new one every 2 or 3 years when they change the jersey sponsor on the front.
All right. So we got Connor McGahee coming up in just a moment. Time for Triple Play Record Stadium Cinema.
New York sports TV shows and movies. Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
Yes, up for grabs today. It's the Downtown Double Play with Triple Play. A $20 gift certificate to our friends at Triple Play Records and a small antipasto salad courtesy of our friends at Junction Square Pizza. If you want any time in the last 2 weeks, sit it out. Otherwise, get your texting fingers ready. I want you to identify this sports entertainment property via the text line, 970-242-1340. First correct text answer to identify it. It's the Downtown Double Play with Triple Play.
We're storming the library.
Oh, get up.
Let nobody go.
Why? They're never going to find us.
Maybe they read my blog. You gave our whereabouts to them on a blog? Wait, you write a blog? How else is the media going to know where to find me?
First correct text answer on the text line, 970-242-1340, gets it with Stadium Cinema.
All right, so send that in now on the team line, 970-242-1340.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on The Team.
And with us right now from his favorite Canadian city, Connor McGahee joins us from Winnipeg. Good morning, Connor. How are you?
Yeah, somebody pinch me.
You're just gleeful, giddy with joy. Did they give you the key to the city and everything, Connor?
What's that?
Did they give you the key to the city? Because you love Winnipeg so much.
I'm the breaking news here. I'm the deputy mayor of Winnipeg now. So good for me.
Well, congratulations on that. Well-deserved honor, by the way.
That's a great honor. So many people to thank. You know, like that guy down on the street right there. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, buddy. They like you. Yeah, they really like you. Just like they like Sally Field back in the day.
Between Kiefer and I don't think we're ever going to be allowed back in here. Ever. So that's,
they're going to have you on a list. I'm sorry, gentlemen. You're just not allowed to come.
At least hopefully for game 5.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we hope for game 5 at least. So, what an incredible, bizarre, weird game on Sunday. I just can't think of another way to describe it where you get six goals on Hellebuyck. You're thinking, if you're Colorado, you're going, we win that game. But they give up, but then Georgie gives up seven. The Avs give up seven. And you had Niederreiter makes the play without his stick that sets up a goal. Just so many bizarre moments in that game from Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that last one because John Mitchell did a great job on altitude of breaking that down. Should have been a penalty on Niederreiter that led to the first Lowry goal, was not. Couple other things that didn't go the Avalanche's way, but they rarely do. That was the 12th time ever that Hellebuyck has allowed six or more goals, and it was the first time that he's won in those 12 games. And look, the Avalanche love to be involved in high-scoring games. That's the highest-scoring playoff game since the Avalanche beat the Oilers at home in the Western Conference Final in 2022, 8-6. So, yeah, it's a game that probably drives coaches crazy. Entertaining for us, though, back and forth. The Avalanche perfect on the power play as they keep the best of two opportunities in the third period. But, again, you have a couple of defensive mistakes that lead to goals. And the Avalanche really couldn't hold on to a lead. I mean, it was only for minute 52 and 48 seconds for a total of 2 minutes and 40 seconds that the Avalanche led in that hockey game. So it's learning again how to get a lead and hang on to it no matter what. And that's what series are for, is to learn from your mistakes in the previous one and see what you can do better in game number two.
Avs radio voice Connor McGahee with us from Winnipeg today. The focus has been on Alexander Georgiev and how he played on Sunday. You mentioned some defensive mistakes, Josh Manson with a bad turnover that led to a goal. It wasn't well, Georgie didn't play great. Georgie's the first to admit that. Jared Bednar said that as well in the post game, that they didn't at times play well in front of him either. It is a very a situation that if sometimes guys don't play well in front of their goaltender, they have bad turnovers like the Manson turnover that puts your goalie in a bad spot, and that's what happened in a couple occasions on Sunday.
You know, and we've talked about this a bunch, is that it's a symbiotic relationship between the defense, the team in front, and the goaltender. Because a big save obviously helps out your team, and no turnovers, getting sticks in the way, helps your goaltender make easier saves. So it is reliant upon one another, and oftentimes you'll see great goaltending performances assisted by good defensive performances in front of them. And that's what the Avalanche, again, need to work on and be better at here tonight, just like Winnipeg is going to want to take away the dominance that Colorado had otherwise, because I don't think Winnipeg is feeling good about the game that they played. And so Rick Bowness said that they will improve and try and be more stingy defensively. But I still maintain that if the Avalanche are in attack mode like they were, I mean, you can't defend that. You can say you have the best defensive structure, beg your pardon, on planet Earth, but it's not going to do anything if the Avalanche play that way. So Colorado's in a good spot. They're right there, and that's why there's not a whole lot of panic from the coaching room or the locker room.
And clearly Jared Bednar tried to put the best positive spin on this, that number one, we can't focus on what happened Sunday. Got to clean up the mistakes, and we got to move forward. But overall, it seemed like the Jared felt pretty good about what he saw from this team on the road in that environment in Winnipeg, the whiteout, the incredible crowd that was there for that game on Sunday. That with all those things working against the Avalanche, that six goals in that game against Hellebuyck. And if you clean some of those things up, it's going to be hopefully a different story in game two tonight. And just not freaking out, not just going, like I text you, Chip Diller, all is well and going crazy. That he's like, things are okay. We're going to be okay. We just got to play better in front of Georgie, and Georgie's got to play better, and we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't lipstick on a pig. This is, Colorado was the better hockey team. I mean, you know, they do the computations on a 1,000 game simulation to do the deserve to win-o-meter. And the Avalanche are almost 80% in that hockey game. And so sometimes the odds are in your favor, sometimes they're not. But, I mean, most of the time they are. So if you duplicate that, again, clean some stuff up, you're in good shape. And I just think that this team is not one to back down and not one to wave the white flag. I mean, I know that we're used to winning game ones of series, but they're also almost 20 games over 500 in game two of series if you go all the way back. So that's why I think that the level approach here is not just pie in the sky, but it's very deserved, and that's a confident group going into game two here tonight.
Avs Radio Voice Connor McGahee with us on the Team Sports Network. Of course, we'll have the game tonight right here on the team with Connor bringing it to you from Winnipeg. And I think you just, you know, you look at, you know, some of what, you know, the goal scoring that came from the Jets on Sunday. We talked about how the Avalanche are this far superior offensive team. But Lowry had a big game. Morrissey played well. I mean, they had some guys that really stepped up. Adam Lowry, in particular, that second goal, you know, that really helped them. But those two guys in particular had big games against the Avalanche.
Yeah, Morrissey now has four straight games versus the Avalanche with multi-point efforts. I mean, and if you're unfamiliar, you can probably, I mean, you can't equate Cale Makar, in my opinion, but you can have someone's version of a Cale Makar, and that would probably be Josh Morrissey, who's come alive under Rick Bonus in the last couple of years, as he's been in and around 70 points as a defenseman. And then Adam Lowry, I'm hoping for some deja vu, because that's his second career two-goal playoff game. The last one was last year in round one versus the Vegas Golden Knights, and then the Jets went on to lose four straight to lose the series. So let's hope that history does a little bit of repeating.
Let us hope that is the case. When the Avalanche take on the Jets tonight, we know from Jared Bednar that Eustace Annunen, who of course was not available Sunday because he was ill, that's going to be the case again tonight. Arvid Holm, who was one-time Winnipeg Jets goaltending prospect, suited up as the backup. He has never played an NHL game, and that was part of the reason why there was no option for Jared Bednar on Sunday to go to Eustace Annunen. It looks like that will be the same situation tonight, Connor.
Well, I mean, slightly amended. Holm has been sent back down to the Eagles, and they have recalled Ivan Prosvetov.
Okay.
For Colorado. So Holm back down, Prosvetov up, just in case. I mean, Prosvetov did go 4-3-1 in eight games this season with the Avalanche, and he's coming off his final win of the season versus Ontario down in the AHL as the Eagles are off to the Calder Cup playoffs, but they have switched their backup goaltender for tonight. So Prosvetov up and Arvid Holm. It was funny because we were in the media room 2 days ago for game one, and I said, yeah, Arvid Holm's going to back up Alexander Georgiev, and all the Jets people turned and looked and said, oh, we know that name. But it'll be Prosvetov. And we're wondering if he's going to wear number 50 or number 1, because he wore 50 with the Avalanche this season and then wore the number 1 with the Colorado Eagles. So we'll keep an eye on that for some breaking news later today.
All right. Because there's not much going on in Winnipeg today, right? So why not that?
I'm literally looking at Portage in Maine, which is the coldest intersection in the world. And we've been there when it's freezing. And, yeah, that's about it to watch the cars go by in the world's coldest intersection on most days. So yeah, we're looking for other things to keep us occupied.
Stay warm, my friend. Stay warm.
Hey, thanks.
Appreciate that. Have a great call tonight, Connor.
Will do, boys. Appreciate you. See you later.
All right, take care. All right, from Winnipeg today, Connor McGahee. Pre-game starts at 7 tonight on the Team Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And Cake's going to jump in here. I have to run over to Cover to Craft Coffee and Beer. You guys, I believe, have pole dancing coming up next.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line. 970-242-1340.
got it together, didn't we?
All right, coming to the stage, yeah. It's Amber. We remember, everybody, $14 kamikaze.
Let me ask you a question. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I?
I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
Get those dollar bills out. It's time for pole dancing.
That is correct. Loosen them hips, baby. It is time for pole dancing. Our top five draft locks. And top five things Tyler just dropped in the studio.
That was my microphone.
I'd know that. Okay, that segment's done. No. Top five.
See you, Colorado Craft.
Yes. Top five draft locks. Top five championship locks. Now, these are pro championship sports locks.
Oof.
Now, the draft locks is something different. It's not necessarily the top five order, right?
Right.
It's just things, the top five things that will absolutely happen. The top five draft locks. Let's get started.
All right.
Number five, a top six quarterback, right? Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Nix, Penix. One of the top six will drop out of the first round and be taken day two. That is a draft lock.
That's a good lock.
I don't know
lock.
Who it is. One of the six is not going to be in the old choose them up Thursday night.
My number five draft lock,
because
it's the one that we're all not really surprised by.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams is number one overall pick.
Oh, so that's your five lock.
That's my number five lock, yes.
Oh, mine's coming up at some point. My number four draft lock, this is personal to me.
Mm.
The Browns will take a day two head scratcher.
Okay.
Like Siaki Ika.
Who?
Yeah, that's kind of my point. Alex Wright. Not the former wrestler Alex Wright.
Not that guy?
Not the former major leaguer David Bell. Different David Bell.
Are these
Anthony
like
Schwartz?
Are these like Madden generated names?
No,
like,
these are real day two draft names. Jordan Elliott.
The I think Browns, I went to high school with a guy named Jordan Elliott.
Locke will make a day two head scratcher.
Day two head scratcher.
That's number four.
My number four, for your Ohio State Buckeyes,
yeah.
Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Arizona Cardinals.
Ooh, intrigue. What's that? Five?
Fourth.
Four. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Here's my lock. Broncos' first draft pick is going to be a defensive player.
There's going to be some reaction.
Yeah, there will be.
There's going to be some reaction, good or bad. There's going to be some reaction.
You think there are fans trying to talk themselves into Zach Wilson now. Locke, they take a defense. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be a 12, but if they trade back, lock for a defensive player.
My number three lock.
Okay.
Even though Bill Belichick is no longer the head coach / general manager of the New England Patriots, the Patriot way, the Belichickian way,
Gerard
still
Mayo.
Permeates.
Yep.
Gerard Mayo and the Patriots trade out of the number three overall pick to the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh. That's a double lock. That's them trading.
Them trading.
And also the team that trades with them.
Because
That's a good one.
I feel like, number one, I feel like the Patriots would, because they'll still be at 11, because they'll obviously swap picks, but they'll get a haul probably.
Get a couple extra.
They can probably still get, because kind of tied into your other lock there might be a quarterback that drops.
True. Yeah.
So.
Very well.
So that's my number three.
My number two draft lock. This kind of ties in with the Broncos, but this is independent.
Okay.
A quarterback needy team will draft an unneeded defensive player. Now, I'm waiting for the day. I know somebody's going, well, all players are needed in the draft. So I get that. But you got to know what I'm meaning, not just listen to the words I say.
All right.
A quarterback needy team will draft a defensive player doesn't absolutely need at that spot.
It's good.
So there's draft lock number two.
Good luck. Number two for me, Jaden Daniels pulls an Eli Manning.
Really?
says, I do not want to play for Washington.
After they invited more than just him to the party.
The other day.
That's why. Wow. If that's the case, what a child.
Right.
He knows that there's going to be a backup quarterback there, right? It's not just going to be interesting. Anyway, we haven't talked about that at all.
No.
My most lockest of locks is Caleb Williams to the Bears. 100%.
Yeah.
Dung, dung. Lock it.
See, the reason I had that at number five and not number one is because it's just so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So my number one, with all apologies to our friends in the greater New Jersey metropolitan area, my lock is that somehow, some way, the New York Football Jets will screw up whatever first round pick they have. That could be.
That's a lockest of locks.
That is a lockest of locks for me. The Jets are going to find a way to number two down their legs in the first round.
They're going to Jets down their legs.
They are going to jettison.
Jettison some
something.
You know what down their legs.
Exactly.
We're going through pole dancing. It's Buckeye and Cake here with you. Jim's headed over to Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, corner of 12th and Glenwood. We're going to be doing Mav Day over there coming up starting at the 9 o'clock hour for the rest of pole dancing. It's the top five title locks.
Title locks.
For professional sports leagues.
Okay.
Very wordy, but I like wordy titles to stuff. Number five, I have the defending champs. The NBA, the way it looked last night, the way it looks the first two games, they just find a way. I have the Denver Nuggets as a number five lock for a championship.
I have a very similar, and I'm kind of, I'll be honest, because I got your text about 10 minutes ago, so I've been trying to kind of
throwing this together. I didn't have it until 10 minutes ago, in my defense.
So I'll kind of echo what you're saying, but I have... For my number five, Celtics Nuggets NBA Finals.
That's a good one. That's a pretty decent lock there. My number four lock. Now this is going to sound dumb. Mm-hmm. I admit that going in because four professional sports that I used, five slots. So there's going to be a double, and both can't be locks.
Right.
That being said, I have the Doyers, the Los Angeles Dodgers, is my number four title lock.
So, for me, and I hate this with every fiber of my body.
Yep.
World Series. The American League will be represented by the New York Yankees. The National League will be represented by the Los Angeles Dodgers. It will be a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, and I will collectively lead the charge to burn Major League Baseball to the ground.
Yuck.
Yuck indeed. But you just know that it's shaping up to be that way, don't you think?
That's true. Just so you know, though, to make you feel a little bit better, the New York Yankees, one of 29 teams in Major League Baseball that are worse right now than my Cleveland Guardians.
Fair enough.
That would be every damn team, but that's neither here nor there. My number three title lock, I hate to say this, as a Colorado Avalanche fan, the Vegas Golden Knights. They kind of feel inevitable right now, a little bit.
Yep.
Not UConn level, not Chiefs level. Foreshadowing. They feel just a little inevitable. I have Vegas as my number three title lock.
So I will take for the NHL Stanley Cup Finals a team that everyone probably had last year to make it to the Cup and then got bounced embarrassingly in the first round.
Colorado Avalanche.
No.
Oh.
Boston Bruins. The other team that our boss Chris Britt roots for in the NHL.
Because the Steelers' colors.
Exactly. Allegedly. Although the Pittsburgh Penguins have the same colors, but neither here nor there.
And it's in the same town.
It's in the same city.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Boston Bruins, Vegas Golden Knights, Stanley Cup Finals.
That's a lot of yellow.
That is a lot of black.
For people that don't like the Steelers, that's a lot of black and yellow.
The Steelers.
That's a no thanks.
Yeah.
There's a Pirates game on somewhere if I'm going to watch this much black and yellow.
Exactly.
My number two title lock is the best team in the National League right this second. They're not even really hitting just yet because, well, they are number one in the National League in batting average, but their main dude from last year is hitting 222. Another main dude from last year is hitting 250. And just a handful of RBI, six RBIs, a singular home run for Matt Olson, a singular home run for Ronald Acuna Jr. Three for Matt Olson. I have the Atlanta Braves, the Bravos, the Tomahawk Choppers as my number two title lock.
Number two title lock for me, we're going to the National Football League.
Oh, yeah?
The Kansas City Chiefs will square off with the Detroit Lions in the big game. Who will win? I'm going to find out.
That is that's true. My number one title lock is the aforementioned Tomahawk Choppers, the Kansas City Chiefs. One or two stole it from two or one. One of them's the innovator. One of them is the imitator. But I have the Kansas City Chiefs as my top five title locks.
I'm going to shake it up a little bit here, and I'm not going to go for a team title lock necessarily, mm-hmm. but an individual player who en route to a title will be recognized for their individual greatness amidst the collective greatness.
Okay.
Nikola Jokic will be back-to-back playoff MVPs.
Back-to-back finals MVP.
Huh? Back-to-back.
Does he win his third regular season MVP in four seasons?
I believe so.
I think they're going to find a way to give it to Shea G.A. I think they're going to try and find a way.
And here's the thing, right? Because I said it last year when the Nuggets won the title.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather get the ring than, in no disrespect to Jokic, but he's already got two MVPs. If he gets a third, great. It's another notch in an impressive
belt,
possibly Hall of Fame resume.
Right.
But the goal is always the championship team, mm-hmm. because those are going to live forever. And plus, if it's Shea Gillis Alexander, you know what? That's not a bad pick.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I don't have as much of an issue with it as Joel Embiid did last year. But again, the Nuggets got the ring, so who cares?
That's true. And you know what? For Shea Gilgeous Alexander, at least they're the number one seed.
True.
You know, so they did have a better regular season in theory,
yes.
and in actuality than the Joker, so I get that part of it. I understand. But that's a good one. That's pole dancing, our top five title locks and our top five NFL draft locks, what we feel is going to happen coming up on Thursday. I think it's time for me to hit the road. I'm going to head on out to Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Jim is already there. Set up, ready to go. Mav Day starts in 5 minutes from right this very second, unless you're on the delay, then 5 minutes and 15 seconds.
Which I'm turning the delay off right now because it's going to be easier to do a live remote.
It's much easier to do live without that. So that's coming up. We'll talk a little CMU Mavericks sports from Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Herd Trivia coming up next hour as well. Your chance to continue winning with the Jim Davis Show. Jim is on location. I'm hitting the road there. You're manning the studio.
Master control.
But 2 hours are in the books. One left to go. It's a quasi-B segment, B-team segment.
There you go.
Of the Jim Davis Show. We'll be out at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House at the top of the hour for Mav Day on the team.